Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. I'm going to do a series now, probably four or five, on Tish B'Av and what is incorporated into that concept. I'm doing this series by the leading of the Holy Spirit because I believe this can apply to what God is doing in His body, in the body of Christ. And this is a particular season from now through really the middle of August. This is the middle part of July. It's actually the second week in July. Through the middle part of August, that's a very critical month in the time of the history of the Jews and also for the nations historically. So, Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua that you would come Ruach HaKodesh and that you will open up this revelatory teaching that is applicable to the seasons and the times that we are in the body of Christ, and over and how that reflects in the nations. For you deal with your house, and judgment begins upon your house first, and then judgment goes to the nations. So we thank you and praise you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, this particular year, the year 2008, on August 1st, there will be a full solar eclipse over the Earth. And then on August 16th, there will be a partial lunar eclipse. So when God speaks through the signs in the heavens, a solar eclipse or anything having to do with the sun has to do with the nations. And the lunar eclipse, the partial eclipse, has to do with Israel. And I believe that I saw a shroud coming over that month, a dark shroud, and that the full solar eclipse will be that the nations are going to be eclipsed. They're going to come into some darkness, and there are going to be some tremendous destructions that are going to bring lamentations to the earth as we are entering a time for the judgments of the Lord, that God is cleaning up the earth to prepare the way for His return. The 16th, the partial lunar eclipse, I believe, has to do with the partialing out, dividing really of Jerusalem, and that it will bring some severe judgments. God is dealing with the nations by and large as they deal with his land, Israel, that he is jealous over. He's very jealous over Zion. He's very jealous over Jerusalem. Now, let me put a note in here that Israel and Jerusalem are not holy lands. But God is in the process of dealing with that also. So August 9th, 10th is the date of Tisha B'Av this year. And so let's discuss historically what happens to lay a foundation for this month and why it is a time of mourning. It's Tisha B'Av is the day of remembrance and mourning for the Jewish community. Recalls all these sad events that have happened historically. It means the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Av. Now, nine is the number of judgment. The 3 weeks between the 17th of Tammuz and the Tisha B'Av have been days of misfortune and calamity. So this is the time when both the first and second temples were destroyed. And we are going to discuss what these misfortunes and calamities are. These days are also referred to as the period within the Straits, Ben Hamatzarim, in accordance with this verse from Lamentations 1 through 3, all the oppressors have overtaken her within her straits. So a Shabbat during the 3 weeks, the Haftorahs are taken from the chapters in Isaiah and Yeremiahu. Jeremiah, dealing with the prophecies that have the temple's destruction and the exile or the dispersion of the Jewish people among the nations. There are different aspects of mourning observed by the entire nation. There's a minimization of joy and celebration because divine judgment is being is actually felt, and hence that is a period that we are also in, and probably coming into in a greater way. The judgments of God are on the earth. The idea of the judgments of God are to bring repentance. So let's go through the catastrophes of the 17th of Tammuz. Moses broke the tablets at Mount Sinai in response to the sin of the golden calf. Okay? He came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. He saw the golden calf, and in fury, he broke the Ten Commandments. The daily offerings in the first temple were suspended during the siege of Jerusalem, and the Kohanim could no longer obtain animals. Jerusalem's walls were breached prior to the destruction of the second temple in 70 CE. Fourth, prior to the Great Revolt, the Roman general Apostamos burned a Torah scroll, setting a precedent for the horrifying burning of Jewish books throughout the centuries. And five, an idolatrous image was placed in the sanctuary of the Holy Temple, which was a brazen act of blasphemy and destruction. So, after Jerusalem fell on the 17th of Tammuz, prior to the destruction of the Second Temple, the 17th of Tammuz and this period to the 9th of Av is a three-week period of combined observance for tragedies over the Jewish people, or the people of Israel. Now let's go to the 9th of Av. There are five calamities, but there are also additional misfortunes, for a total of probably about 12 really grave misfortunes. But national calamities are these five. During the time of Moses, the Jews in the desert accepted the slanderous report of the 10 spies, and the decree was issued forbidding them from entering the land in 1312 BCE. Second, the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians led by Nebuchadnezzar. 100,000 Jews were slaughtered and millions more exiled in 586 BCE. Third, the second temple was destroyed by the Romans led by Titus. Some 2 million Jews died and another 1 million were exiled. Fourth, the Bar Kokhba revolt was crushed by the Roman Emperor Hadrian and the city of Betar, the Jews' last stand against the Romans, was captured and liquidated. Over 100,000 Jews were slaughtered. And five, the temple area and its surroundings were plowed under by the Roman general Turnus Rufus. Jerusalem was rebuilt as a pagan city renamed Aelio Capitolina, and Jews were forbidden from having access to it. So those are the five national calamities. Now let's look at other misfortunes across the centuries to the Jews, towards the Jews at this time. Okay, the first one was the Spanish Inquisition, which culminated with the expulsion of the Jews from Spain on Tisha B'Av in 1492. I believe it's referred to as the Alhambra incident. The second one was the expulsion from France on July 22, 1306, the 10th of Av. The Jews of France were arrested in order to leave the country, and approximately 100,000 were forced to wander in search of new homes, and many perished along the way. It was the France's King Philip the Fair expelled them without any advance warning in order to seize their assets. His motive was financial, and he plundered their wealth. 10 years later, Louis X invited the Jews back to France. Some came back, but it didn't last, because in 1396, Charles VI again expelled the Jews from France. Secondly, they were barred from England. Many Jews fleeing from oppression in Russia in the late 19th century came to England into the East End, and in the 1880s there was this immigration wave, and they called it the alien invasion. And then August 11th, 1905, the 10th of the Aliens Act was passed. Anyone who was considered an undesirable immigrant, someone who could no means of earning a living, who was judged to be a lunatic or convicted of a non-political crime, and also allowed for the expulsion of those who had already immigrated and were deemed undesirable. So this brought oppression against the immigrant Jewish community. Then in Israel, on the 10th of Av in 1929, on the fourth incident was World War I broke out on the eve of Tisha B'Av in 1914, when Germany declared war on Russia. The German resentment from the war set the stage for the Holocaust. Then let's go back to... So that was 1914. Then in Israel on the 10th of Av in 1929, Arab hatred of Zionism boiled over into full-scale riots. The Arabs of Jerusalem were aware of the significance of the Western Wall to the Jews, a holy site, which it still is, and they incited a riot against Zionism. The British had consented. It was under British control then. Arabs demands to limit prayers at the Western Wall. So in the middle of the Yom Kippur services, the British soldiers removed the mechitza, the divider separating the men and women who were in prayer at the wall. Now, meanwhile, the Mufti of Jerusalem, Haj Amin al-Husseini, who was a Nazi and... was a fascist and aligned with Mussolini and with Hitler, and since has fueled Mein Kampf and fascist doctrine teachings throughout the Arab world, whipped the Arab masses into a rage, charging that they were Jews attacking Muslim holy places. So these Jewish worshippers were attacked, and then thousands of Arabs the next day converged on the Mosque of Omar at the Temple Mount, and there were hate speeches and calling slaughter the Jews. And so in the next 10 days, Arab riots were all over the Holy Land, spread, and 133 Jews were dead, 399 were wounded, and Arab mobs were ravaging Jewish communities. On the eve of Tisha B'Av in 1942, the mass deportation of Jews began from the Warsaw Ghetto to Treblinka. In 2005, on the 10th of Av, the government of Israel began the Gaza disengagement, where 9,000 Jews were evicted from their homes. So here we have just a brief view of how difficult it has been for the Jews on this particular date. And what it has forced is, in amongst the Jewish community, remembering this, is that, and the fast day of the 17th of Tammuz is to awaken the sense of loss over the temple and the Jewish dispersion, and to agonize over these events and to remember them is to help bring into light spiritual deficiencies about God's dealing with us, or with us as a Christians, even, or believers, or those who are under the covenant, those who are under the covenant of the Old and the New Testament, because the Old Testament is the root and the text of who Yeshua is, our Savior. And so we look at what has happened, and we understand that there are consequences. And one rabbinical scholar likened the destruction of the temple, or the expulsion of the Jews, as a husband and wife who had two children, and the husband really loves the wife, and and he she's an alcoholic. She continues on in her destructive behavior, thinking he'll never leave me. He always loves her. He's threatening her constantly. I'm going to leave you. You need to change. She never changes. One morning she wakes up and the husband is gone with the children. And yet she still goes on thinking, well, he's going to come back, until the day she gets the divorce papers. Likewise, this is how God has dealt with the Jews in regards to they have continually been disobedient and turned away from God's laws and commandments and have brought the cursings in Leviticus and Numbers upon them. Cursings out of Deuteronomy for disobedience, the blessings for obedience. And God has never, though, divorced the Jews. He has always been with them, even in their discipline. And so the book of Isaiah and the book specifically of Lamentations is read at this time and in this season. It's time of introspection. And we are going to look at that a lot carefully. God right now has been dealing with the rebellion and the idolatry, not only in his church, but in the land of Israel. His discipline has been upon them. He is a holy God. He is not returning to an unholy land, because he is a holy God. He cannot, until his laws and commandments will be established and make a way. And even now we see that happening as more understanding is coming between spirit-filled believers in Yeshua and Jews who follow the Lord. Yeah, I like the Karaite Jews. They follow Torah, Jesus, the Torah, more than the Orthodox. But the Orthodox, God loves them, and they're okay. They understand. Unfortunately, the teachings of men and the laws and traditions of men have come in to influence their view. But the Karaite Jews are basically Torah believing. They're probably closest to this. And so we join in with them. In any time, the whole book of Hosea has been written about. Hosea was called to marry Gomer, who was a prostitute, and have children out of wedlock, and he was a sign prophet of what was going on in the land of Israel, that she was continually a spiritual whore, running after other idols, running after things she worshipped and made with her own hands. And God called that spiritual adultery, because he betrothed Israel to himself as a bride, and so he has a process of disciplining her and bringing about his corrective judgments to bring her into fellowship with him. You can't be in fellowship with him unless you're holy. So in the following studies, what we were going to do in the next teachings following this sort of foundational teaching, setting the platform and the basis for where we're going about Tish B'Av, is we will get into the book of Lamentations and break it open. Then we will go to the Parsha reading for this next Shabbat, which is the Destroyer. And then we will deal with the actual Parsha readings for Tish B'Av, August 10th, when the temple is destroyed. So I thank you for joining me. The purpose of this process of examining these scriptures and the patterns of history, that what goes around comes around, that God works in cyclical energy. This is all demonstrated in physics. There's a fullness of time, a maturing and a harvest, and that we are in a time when the temple is being established, the temple without hands, which we are, and that the Lord is, even in the 60 years of Israel's anniversary being birthed as a nation, 60 years of the Dead Sea Scrolls being discovered, and breaking open the scrolls and releasing the revelatory word of God to the nations, from his nations, to bring back his redemptive purposes for the earth, this process of restoration that's in this time and this era. And as we look at what went on at the time of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the time of the temple, the second temple's destruction, which is right after the time of Yeshua, the Nazarene, and the Essene communities, and all these historical and political conflicts and turmoil, and we see that that's beginning to arise, and that the redemption of Israel is going to be happening. Even as God, Yeshua, has made atonement for our sins, he will be working his great redemption. And so the purpose through these events and the events that are happening on the earth now is to bring teshuvah, which is introspection, repentance, a commitment to turn away from the sin and to take the challenge of transforming, being conformed into the image of what God has purposed by the blood, the atoning blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. And we will talk about the destruction of what's happening in the body of Christ, the temple, and what will be happening in Israel during this process of these teaching, and the rebuilding program from Ezekiel 44, that God is raising up his temple in the midst of this, and his measuring lines and plumb lines are going out, justice and righteousness he's going to establish on the earth. Those are the foundations of his throne, to raise up a reformed, a reformation, and an accurate building, and that the roots of our faith, that the branches are coming back in and being grafted in to have a fruitful kingdom that will cover the whole earth. So I thank you for joining me for this study, because God is opening up to me as we're going along, and we'll see where he will take us. So, Father, I thank you for those who are listening. I praise you and bless you. That Lamentations, that there is a time to weep and there is a time to mourn. There is a time for all things under the sun. Lord, we want to know the times, and we want to come into agreement with your times and seasons, that as you open the books, Lord, and you reveal the scrolls, and that knowledge opens up, that you open up the authenticity of the word, according to the Masoretic text, according to the ancient books, are being opened up, and they are being revealed to us, and you are opening up holiness and purity to us in order that we might have your Holy Spirit and the divine revelation that comes from that. I pray for those who hear, that their ears and their hearts and eyes would be opened up, that you would understand that purity of your holiness, and to bring them into this cleansing work that you are doing in this season, and that we might be participants in the building program of the temple on earth. We are your temple. You said, Lord Yeshua, that if you destroy this temple, in 3 days you will raise it up. We are very, very excited about what you are doing, and we press in to that third day revelation, to that 70 years now that we're moving into. We're moving into the 70th year, we're moving into the 7th millennium, and we're moving into the Shabbat rest, the completed works of the Lord Yeshua. We praise you and worship you, and thank you for all that you have purposed, and all that you're going to do in the coming days. Be blessed, and join me for the next session on Tisha B'Av. Goodbye now. This has been produced by Kathleen Pearl, kdpearlministries.org, www.kdpearlministries.org. Please feel free to link others to these teachings and the website. You may copy these off as long as you keep them in context of the original teachings to maintain the integrity of what is being taught. Be blessed. Goodbye.